Good evening.
Good evening.
I went home today and slept about an hour. It was one of those sleeps where you think, I'm not really asleep, am I? You keep thinking, I wish I could go to sleep. And then it's been an hour, you know you were asleep. It's ridiculous. Anyway, I'm happy to be here. I want to thank everybody for all the cards, all the well wishes. And this is my last sermon here at Neely's Bend. And I just want you to know I love you all and appreciate every one of you.
I'm sorry, we can't let you go.
Is that right? Well, chain me up in here. So one thing I want to talk about tonight is the fact that a preacher, and I think I mentioned this before, is a reminder. Because a preacher is no more special than anyone else in the congregation. And no less special than anyone else in the congregation. We're all God's children, but we're all also sinners. But a preacher provides reminders a few times a week. They dedicate their lives to looking at the Word, and we should all should do that, have that as a foundation. We're going to talk about that tonight. But the preacher is able to come in and remind you of these things. As long as you're here three times a week, you get that reminder, right? And that's one of the great benefits because the world will try to pull you away like a tide. It pulls you out to sea. And it's very easy to get enveloped in that world and to forget about the things that truly matter. And so tonight, we're going to talk about true conversion and what it's like when you're truly converted. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, the Lord said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." And I think that's very interesting. The main point I want to emphasize there is where Jesus says, unless you are converted. But there's another part there, become as little children. You know, a lot of times if you get in an argument with somebody or something like that, you'll say, you're acting like a child, you know. But there's a very special part of a child that we need to try and emulate. And we need to be innocent in that sense as much as we can. But to be converted, there's all kinds of ideas about what that means. In Acts 3:19, we read, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Repent, therefore, and be converted. And there are many today that say, well, I know I'm converted because I feel it. You know, I feel it right here. I'm converted. That's not really what it's about. What it's about is looking at the Bible, the Word of God, and seeing if you have followed the commands of Christ. And if you have, and you're trying your best to live, and you believe in all those things, we'll go over that at the end of the lesson. If you follow that plan of salvation, then you are converted. And you can know that by looking at the Bible. But you cannot know it by feeling. There are many things in this world that feel good, but that are not right. And a lot of times people will follow those paths, and when they follow those paths, they get addicted to things, they get snared in things, and they can't get back out. So what we have to do is always look back to really our compass, the Word of God. Now, the only way we can know what constitutes that is through the Word of God. So let's go on through this a little bit. What happens after you are converted? And again, I'm going to go over the plan of salvation at the end of this lesson. Well, you become a new creature in Christ. And this is very important to understand. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we read, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So we talk about oftentimes when people are baptized, they rise to a newness of life, right? Well, that's what happens. The old things, and that means sinful things. That means things that you were putting above God. In fact, anything you put above God is really an idol. And so we have to watch out that we do not put things above God. And when we rise to that newness of life, God is number one. Christ is number one. And this is a radical change. And it's something that you can see in people. And so you are going to see these things come about in their lives. God's purpose is to reshape a life which has been marred by sin, our lives. And it's to be reshaped into what? The likeness of His Son, Christ. And it doesn't happen instantaneously. It's not something that just happens automatically or quickly. Sometimes there's a process there. Of course, you have to follow the plan of salvation. You come up out of that water, you do rise to a new life. But sometimes there's things that we have to work on in there. And there's things that many of us in here are working on. But as long as we're trying, as long as we're striving, as long as we're repenting, we're going to be okay. And sometimes, because people think, well, I had an evil thought, or I sinned yesterday, or I sinned today, they think they're not saved. They think that they should have this completely unique life now where there's no sin. Rising to a newness, a new likeness, being in the likeness of Christ, that is not being perfect. We are not going to be exactly like Christ. We are trying to emulate Christ as much as possible on our level. And so always remember, too, that if you sin, that doesn't mean that you never were saved. And there's been many that I've heard in other sects, in sects of denominationalism that say that. Well, that person must never have been saved in the first place. That's not true. We get up every day. We strive to do our best, but we are going to sin. And when we sin, we need to repent, and we need to try not to do that sin again. There's always going to be a struggle between the flesh and the spirit. Paul himself in Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17 said, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." So even Paul had trouble with this. He was battling this. So we certainly are going to battle this as well. We're told in 1 Peter 2, verse 11, to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. And we should do that to the best of our abilities. We certainly shouldn't fall into anything that is repetitive. And this is a tough topic, but we do not need to have repetitive sin in our life, because you can't fully repent of that. You need to repent, turn away from that sin, try not to do it again, fully intend not to do it again, and try to get out of that cycle. And then God will forgive you. Now, the purpose of one's life is also changed after conversion. After you're converted, you should no longer live strictly for yourself. You should live for God, number one. That should be your foundation in life. Many times when people are young, they want to do things in their career. Maybe they put their wife or their husband very, very high, maybe number one priority. Sometimes you'll see people say, you know, number one priority is family, family first, and then work. Well, you got to put God in there, right? You need to put God number one. And all these other things can come about after that. But we need to be changed. We need to be changed. I'm going to say one thing. I like this. A man who was converted put on his shirt under new management. And I like that. We need to be under the management of Christ. Conversion is not just an experience, a feeling, but it's an earnest desire to live by faith in the one who died for us. And that's Christ. Galatians 2 verse 20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." We can get mixed up in our lives and think, what's this all about? You know, people often ask that. I wonder what all this is about. Well, I can tell you, it's about Christ. That's what this is about. This whole thing that we're doing. Because if you look at it, it's just getting up over and over until you finally don't get up no more, right? Finally, you're going to pass away. So it can't just be about that, or if it is, it's pretty useless. So the thing that we need to do is put Christ first in our lives. Then we never stop living. And you know, the thing I talked about this morning, we never stop living anyway. Your soul is going to go on living somewhere. It's a matter of where it's going to go on living. And this is our opportunity, these days that we get up every day. This is our opportunity to do the right thing so that eventually, when that time comes that we pass from this life, we go to the correct place, the place that we want to go to, the place that is eternal life, not eternal death. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4 really tells us how to go about that. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Now that's amazing. We're going to get to appear with Christ in glory if we keep Christ number one in our lives, if we keep Christ as the foundation of everything else that we do. If you like sports, that's fine. Put God above them. If you like to work out, I like to work out. Fine. Put God above it. Whatever you like to do, put God a step above that, and you're going to be okay. Make Him the foundation. Here's a final thing. Those who are converted take delight in knowing and doing the commands of the Lord. And that's something we need to think about all the time, isn't it? Because doing right, a lot of people in the world say, well, that's no fun. You know, you're not having any fun. But we know that doing right is where the fun is. It is where all the joy is, all the peace is. In Psalm 40, verse 8, it says, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. So even kings upon their throne can have peace if they would just put God first. So hard to get them to do that, that's for sure. But we need to learn to delight in studying, in hearing, in teaching, and in doing God's will. And I think I mentioned this before. Everybody talks about following your passion, you know, and I guess that's just something you liked as you grew up. But you can develop passions as well. And you can start to like things as you do them. So the more you read your Bible, the more you engage in activities that are Christ-like, fellowship that is Christ-like, you're going to learn to love that more and more. And you're going to learn to put those other things, maybe that you used to like, or maybe that other people want you to like, you'll be able to put those earthly things aside and actually develop a desire to delight in God's Word. And if we think about Bible study, we had a whole section of class on that. Would your life be better if you studied your Bible daily? Even for just 5 minutes, would it be better? And I think everybody in here, because you're in here, would say, well, absolutely, it would be better. So can't we set aside a little bit of time, maybe every morning or maybe every night, whenever you get time, to study the Word of God? I think we would all benefit from that. Make it a daily practice. In Psalm 119, verse 92, we read, unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. So we think about when we have affliction in our lives, that's the one time that the Word of God really springs to the forefront. that church, coming together in fellowship, springs to the forefront. You start to think, what am I going to do if God doesn't help me through this? And in reality, every day of our life is like that. We just don't realize it. God's helping us through every day of our life. He's given us every breath. He's given us our oxygen. He's given us our food. I think there's 7.8 billion people in the world, and the sun shines down on all of them every day, good or bad. Good people, bad people. Because He's going to do that, give everybody a chance until either their death or the judgment day. So my question for you tonight is, have you been converted, and have you been converted properly? Because that's the only way you can have the peace, the hope, and the love of Christ. Now, a true convert is willing to sacrifice. Willing to sacrifice money and time, many things, to please the Lord and to advance the Lord's cause. And we need to do that. We need to put forth effort for the Lord. There's a lot of joy that can be had there as well. And there might not be a whole lot of big, flashy things that you can do. But little things count too. God sees everything. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20, we read, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Everything we have, including our body, including our spirit, is from the Father of lights, as James 1:17 says, where everything, every good thing comes down from Him. There's no variation in Him. He's always the same. Politics may change. People's views, culture may change. But the Bible is always the same. Year after year, it's the bestseller. Year after year, it's telling people all over the world the same thing. It's giving people all over the world the very same chance. Yet many, they profess to be converted, but their hearts haven't changed. They continue in practices of the past, can't break free of them. They have no sense of belonging to Christ, no sense of shame for their past sins, or maybe they do feel like they belong to Christ, but they haven't fulfilled the plan of salvation, or not all of it. They may not think that's necessary. And so their religion really doesn't amount to much, because God tells us we must obey. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And His commandments are in the New Testament, given to us by Jesus Himself and by the apostles. So my question again is, are you converted, and are you converted properly? There's one way to know, and I'm going to go over the plan of salvation here. First, you need to hear the Word of God, Romans 10, verse 17. Then you need to believe in God, Hebrews 11, verse 6. You need to repent of your sins, turn away from them, Luke 13, 3. You need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you need to do that before men, Matthew 10, 32. You need to be baptized, Mark 16, 16, and Acts 2, 38. And then you need to live faithfully. That means going about your life, still doing the things you enjoy, but having God number one, and also repenting when you sin. So don't wait another day to make your life right with Christ. He's the only thing, the only true hope that we have here is in Christ, and to be truly converted. If you have need of baptism today, or if you have need of making things right, you want the church to pray for you, please come forward as together we stand and sing.